get your Bible, get your pad, and let's go to work. Matthew chapter 16, verse 26, we're going to look at three of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew 16 first. Matthew 16, verse 26. We're studying the soul and how the soul can help us get a better hold on God and the will of God. Little have been known about the soul. And so here in Matthew 16:26, Jesus said, For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Now, the way we're studying, I want you to see more insight of what part the soul plays on this side. On this side. Many times we read this and we talk about losing our soul. We were talking about not going to heaven, going to hell. That's what we're talking about. But we were not aware that our soul consists of, listen very carefully, five weapons that we can train. That's five weapons. I did extensive reading on the soul. I never heard that nowhere. But the Spirit of God, that's five weapons in your soul that the Holy Spirit can help you train with the Word of God and use it in spiritual warfare and win. All right? You know the five we talked about, the emotion. Even your feeling can be used properly. Your intellect, your reasoning can be used properly if it's in connection with the Word of God. Your memory, your imagination, and your will. Now, I believe they're in chronological order. For me, they're in chronological order as I spoke them, because I believe the will is the highest one. Tonight, again, by purpose, on purpose of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to deal with the imagination some more because it needs to be dealt with. We're finally going to deal with all of them one by one. But I see them as a weapon. So I want you to see your imagination as a weapon that you can use supernaturally. Now, Mark 8:36 and Luke 9:25 talks about the soul. Just for record's sake, Mark chapter 8, Mark chapter 8, verse 36. For what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Then in Luke 9, just follow me, because I have some glorious things to tell you that are going to cause you to grow. How many are ready to grow more? In Luke 9:25, it said, for what is a man advantage? See, Luke said it a little different. If he gain the whole world and lose himself, be a castaway. So Luke even take it a little more extensively. Now, Genesis chapter 11, we got to go there because I want you to see this, because your soul can be used for you or your soul can be used against you. It's according to who you turn it over to. All right? You have the power to turn your soul over to the world, or you have the power to turn your soul over to God. Your soul, the five aspects of your soul, can be weapons of Satan. If you train them right, they can be weapons toward God. You're going to find out that Satan has been using some of your own weapon against you in time to come, all right? In Genesis 11, I'm reading this lesson because you can use your soul godly or ungodly, but that part of your soul, your imagination, but it still give a powerful lesson. Is a negative aspect about the soul here. They were using their imagination, a part of the soul, wrong. But it just told me how strong weapons of the soul really are. Thank you for the three bananas and the two grapes. Here we have in Genesis chapter 11, the first six verses reveal to us the magnitude of the strength of the soul, either negative or positive. It can be used for righteousness or it can be used for evil. We know that our soul is not born again, but born again in our spirit, but it can be trained just like your body. Your soul is not evil by itself. Your body is not evil. We talked about that. When you talk about the flesh, it's talking about the lower nature, not your body. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So he's saying the whole earth was one language, Genesis 11 and 1, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass that they journeyed from the east, that they found a place in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there, and they said one to another, "Go to us, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and slime, and they had they for mortar, slime they had for mortar. And they said, "Go to, let us," notice how together they are, "build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into the heaven. And let us," the word "us," you ought to look at it over and over again, "and let us," nobody wasn't an individual, you know, it was all hooked up, "and let us make us a name." I've been belonging to some social clubs in my life, and those people were together. I came to the church and found more dissension in the church than in the Ocean 11 Social Club. That's something that's funny, but something for us to think about. And the fourth voice they say, and they say, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men build. I notice verse 6 here, because this is a language you need to understand. And the Lord said, "Behold, the people is one." And they, notice that now, they always have all one language. And this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them. Them, we, us, they. Notice that. But in the last statement in that sixth verse says, "Watch, they have foreseen." See? Imagine to do. Got that? All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 now. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Actually, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, there were some people attacking the authority of the Apostle Paul. And Paul was bold at time, and the other time he was not as bold. And they was questioning his authority and a whole lot of things. So Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, "Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who is in prison, am base among you, but being absent, am bold towards you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as we walk according to the flesh." See, they're coming against Paul. And so he gives this lesson, thank God for it. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." And then I told you in parentheses here, you go straight to the fifth verse, but the fourth verse is the amplification. "For the weapons of our warfare," notice it said weapons, it plural, "weapons of our warfare," notice he's talking about a warfare, "are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Casting down imaginations. Those strongholds are built in your imagination and your thoughts, you see. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into every captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now notice, high things exalt itself against the knowledge of God. And then the sixth voice says, "And having a readiness to revenge all disobedience, when your obedience is fulfilled. So you have to be right to handle things. All right, the imagination is one of the five weapons of the soul. Again, we read in both of those verses, it can be used for you or it can be used against you. We told you the five, the emotion, the intellect, the memory, the imagination, the one we're going to deal with tonight, and the will. Now, the Spirit of God said to me this about the imagination. Godly imagination is a godly focus point in the future that you can continuously attach your faith to. It's something you can see ahead of time and then begin to have snapshots in your mind, and it becomes something you can look ahead and see. God placed that in you. Godly imagination. Come on, what you get is godly imagination is a godly focus point in the future that you can continuously, I'll say it another way now, attach to your faith or attach your faith to it. To do that, you must understand the ability to have a, listen, sanctified imagination that can be produced by the truth of God's word. Now Jesus, when he's trying to prepare the church, he's about to leave. In John 17, is a sanctifying prayer he prayed. And he told the Lord, I've sanctified myself. And then he told him, sanctify those who are with me. And then he says, sanctify them with thy truth. So I believe that your will, your imagination, your memory, your intellect, your reasoning, and your emotions can be sanctified by the word of God. Truth can take them on, and they can become mighty weapons that you can use in life, and they'll cause you to win. When you learn the importance of your imagination, here's what you stop. Therefore, no lying, false, worldly foresight will have no part in your life. You getting this? Yeah. Something come up, you know, and they say this is going to happen, that going to happen. It's a lie. It's a lie in my life. I already see what's going to happen. God already told me what's going to happen. I'm already believing for this to happen. That can't stop what God told me to happen. Because somebody else come up with another predicament or come up with some other ideal. I'm already focused. I already got my faith laid in that place. I know where I'm going. Just as sure as I know I'm going to heaven, I'm sure I'm going to that place in life where the word has said I can go. So no lying report from nobody going to change that report. You see, my brothers and sisters, let me touch on something. Let me touch on homosexuality, lesbianism, and divorce, and divorce, and divorce. These were not God's original plan. So I don't care what man says. See, man says homosexual is right for political reason. Politically, it's all right. But not preaching the gospel of righteousness. And let me just touch it. I don't know, Lord, want me to touch it. Say, well, I bone like that. You sure did bone like that. All of us bone in sin. If your parent don't train you and watch over you, sin going to catch you. Don't get so riled up in my study. There ain't among 4% people homosexual in the whole world. So don't act like the world or everybody homo. And I'm going to do a series here on the church. I have to. I'm going to break it down and break it up. And then every person in this church, listen, every person in this church that needs some help, we're going to minister to them. Because God, you see, two, there's no marriage but man and woman. Where am I? There's no marriage but a male and a female. I don't care what they call it. I don't care what judge did it. I don't care what kind of robe. He cannot marry nobody but a man and a woman. Now, if you want to prove me different, let two men make a baby. Or two women make a baby, and then we'll have it. God said, go forth, be fruitful, and multiply. Let two women multiply, and I'll shut up. Let's go on with our lesson now. Therefore, no lying, false, worldly foresight will have no part in your life when you got your imagination tuned into God. But your imagination will play a clean and wholesome part in your soul. The Lord says we must come to the revelation of the power of our imagination. Then people are helpless. I got to get it off the Lord's Spirit pulling me. People are helpless. They have children and grandchildren get caught and they don't know what to do. The internet is one of the most dangerous things. Those pedophiles are on the internet. And little boys act soft and little girls start acting strong. And then, see, people who do not know how to deal with this, they get upset with you when you deal with it. Come on, that's just half church. You can't have no church with filth. You got to get it straight. Fight for that child life. I keep pulling me off here. Let's go back to the imagination. I want you to grasp a revelation of the power of the imagination. Let's back up. Here's the subject I'm dealing with tonight. Yielding your imagination to the Holy Ghost. Yielding your imagination. You got one. Look at the person next to you and tell them you got one. Yielding your imagination to the Holy Ghost. If you do not yield your imagination to the Holy Ghost, the world going to catch it. And Satan going to do exactly what 2 Corinthians chapter 10 said. He's going to build his strongholds in there. And all you're going to be seeing is doom and gloom. You don't see no hope. Just because you got a little frattling problem, you think you're going to be there the rest of your life. And you got to jump off on that thing and see that God going to work this thing out. Yielding your imagination to the Holy Ghost. Understand the mystery of how Satan wants your imagination. If he get it, then he can force future failure. Let me get that again now. Understand the mystery. It's a mystery. See, and if you're not taught, he can't be caught. But it's a mystery. It's an underlying mystery. He don't want you to know that you can have a godly imagination. Understand the mystery of how Satan wants your imagination. That in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, you remember he said, they're casting down imagination, that's evil imagination. If he can get your imagination, he can force future failure. You hear? Your imagination, properly trained, can carry you into the future favor of God. You could be standing in a trembling mode. You can be standing in a mode where you're being attacked and not be there. You can get in the godly vehicle of your imagination and leave that trap. And somebody else feeling sorry for you, you're not even there yourself. You're gone in the future. You're gone in an aspect of your soul. You see, I just give you another insight, if you know it. Your imagination can be turned into a godly vehicle. Right here tonight, if you're not satisfied where you are, begin to project the future through the promises, through the commandment, through the word of God, what God has said about you. Begin to see yourself there already. And then lock your faith there. And it's looking at a snapshot of the future. Your imagination and your faith works close together. And I put down here, I'll start giving you these principles. May God reveal a mystery of your imagination to you. The insight. I want to go over some things that I used earlier because this is almost virgin territory in the depth that we're going in. You know, I talk about receiving godly impartation to your imagination. Remember I talked about it? Receiving, if you didn't, you don't remember, write it down now. Receiving godly impartation to your imagination. From the word of God, from the promise of God. Another way to say it is that you can use your imagination as an instrument. Your imagination can start a... Turn to Hebrews chapter 11, please. Your imagination can start a powerful flow for your faith. It can give your faith, so you take the word of God, believe God, and reach out beyond where you are. See, your imagination can start a powerful flow for your faith. Hebrews 11 and 1 said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hope is a future word. Imagination can go into the future. So when your imagination and hope get together, faith got something to work with. You could take, I hope you understand my language, you can take the word of God and make your own hope. See? See, all the word of God is seasoned. It's seasoning it. All you're cooking is life. The Holy Ghost is the fire. Revelation is the ingredients. If you don't like what's happening, add something. You don't like the way it tastes, add something to it. Right? Am I right or right? Now, I said this, and I want you, because in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 10, it says, casting down, verse 3, verse 5, casting down imagination. See that? And every high thing, see, imagination and high thing that exalt what? Against the knowledge of God. See, casting it down. Then he said, talking about bringing. And then you, after you do that, you're ready to handle anything. All right, now watch this. And I know I give a lot of information out, but I want you to pay attention to this information. With your imagination, you have to do three things I told you. You got to drain it. Take bad stuff out. You have to drain it. It will not bless you automatically. And a large part of the body of Christ don't even know that the soul has that type of force in it. But you have to, next thing, you have to train it. Put good stuff in, which is the word, the promises, the commandment, whatever God says about you. You begin to see, you're setting your mindset. See, memory in your mind, imagination in your mind. See. And then after draining, see, if you don't drain it, that all going to turn to gunk. You're going to drive a car 300,000 miles and never change the oil. Listen, all you want to do is sing. And then it's so important. I don't know how many times I go over this. Then you expand it. Keep feeding it God's word. Drain it, train it, expand it. Come on, drain it, train it, expand it. We're talking about your imagination. We're talking about the future. We're talking about, I'm getting ahead of myself, but one aspect the Holy Ghost told me when I was studying, he says, the imagination have the ability to call things that be not as though they were because they are. Because if God is not a man that he could lie, if he said it, he make it good. And so my imagination is seeing and saying what God said and what God see. So therefore, I can believe it and I can call it and I can act like I already have it. Right? Right? Depression, anxiety, worry, fear, your imagination properly trained will stop that in your life. Because where you are is not where you're going. And what you have is not who you are. What you have does not control your life. Who you are is the thing that controls your life. Because who you are can change what you have. But what you have cannot change who you are. Romans chapter 4. The imagination is an incredible, powerful component to your spirit life. Whew. Well, you know, Bible said in Romans 8:14, as men is led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If your soul is not intact, you are not going to be properly able to be led by the Spirit. If your memory is messed up, if your will is messed up, if your imagination messed up, if your reading is messed up, if your emotion messed up, you're not going to be able to be led by the Spirit as you should. Are you following me? So there in Romans chapter 4, and I'm going to say that again, then you'll understand it better. What we're saying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans 4:17, as is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, no child. Before him whom he believed, even God who quickened the dead, no child. And this last statement, and caught at those things which be not as though they were. See, all of this whole auditorium came out of my imagination. You got people sitting here hearing me say some things. Say, what? How this going to happen in Darrow? I wasn't in Darrow. I wasn't depending on Darryl. And I wasn't looking at the church down the street. Moments God had put some things in my heart, put some things in my mind, and I held on to those things. And I kept saying what I saw, not what I was seeing. And I was making declaration, and I was decreeing some things, declaring things. Everything I had, my home, everything. You can't sit here and depend on the world system. You're bigger than that. Don't you believe you're trapped tonight. You're not trapped. You cannot trap a child of God. You trap them one way, they're going to bust out another way. You understand what I'm saying? You are not in a predicament. You are not held down. You are not blocked out. No walls can hold you. You're uncontainable. Little boy said, I'm on my knees, but in my mind, I'm standing up. Now, I want to use another word, but I don't want to get it mixed up. But I'm going to use it. You got to be a dreamer. And you can't tell everybody your dream. You tell the wrong person your dream, they're going to come against you. Wait till you get your dream and come back and tell them I had a dream. Then they can't stop. You follow what I'm saying? They can't stop you after you get that. Man asked me, we was in a place, we had preached together. You may have heard this story. Man, we was sitting down, they had refreshment after. Now I was sitting there, me and two of my boys were sitting there. Man was sitting in the front table over there, and he said, Thompson. I said, yes. Where did you come from? Yeah, you come flying through the air in your own plane talking about money coming. Where did you come from? We've been hustling for years, and most of us don't have a plan. What did you do? I had my imagination and my dream and my time with God, and I didn't tell everybody what I was doing. When they saw me, I was flying through the air and had my own full-time pilot. The imagination, come on, get this now. The imagination, which is one of our weapons of our soul. Are you hearing me? Come on now, talk to me here. Because some of y'all need to move. You need to move out the position. You've been in this rut too long. Who won't be a cousin to a rut? Man, you need to be constantly, y'all stop camping. That's what the problem is. Start moving. Look forward. See something. You don't need to do nothing foolish. Do it according to the word of God. See it and call it. See it and say it. See it and believe it. See it and act like you got it already. You have no excuse being in this church. I've taught you well. But you got to use it. You got to use it. Tell a neighbor you got to use it. You got to use it. Me teaching it to you, me coming in here praying out and come put it out, and you're going to leave here and act like you've been to Sunday school. This ain't no Sunday school. It's time for you to graduate. Every person who walk away from this church is unhappy right now. Every person who ever left this church and God didn't tell them to leave, they are having major problems right now. Everyone, God brought it to me. I saw it. I saw the problem they had. If they had still been here, they wouldn't have had that problem. And I'm not trying to scare you not to leave. You want to leave, go ahead. But I'm just telling you what happened. If God don't tell you to leave, don't come up here with talking about my ministry. Lady wrote me a letter. My daughter, she's been with me 30 years. They ain't asked me permission, just wrote me a letter, say it's time, her time up, it's time for her to go and start some stuff. And then the Lord showed me on TV right where that stuff came from. I never saw this woman, the other woman before. Turn the TV on back there, trying to rest a little bit. And yeah, exactly what she said in her letter, this woman said it. And don't marry these crazy men. Who you done put 30, 40 years in your life under a man, and then this crazy man come along talking about love and take you away from the roots where you are and take you into a pussyfoot field where they're not telling you nothing. You don't know nothing but emotion. Don't tell me that. You cannot be happy after you have studied the word of God under the anointing. You cannot be happy nowhere else. You're lying to yourself. You can act like you're happy. Come on, sit down. Proverbs chapter 23. No, people think I don't know. I know. You're just as miserable as you can be. You cannot sit under just talking after you've been under the word of God. You're just as crazy as the best of both. You know you're not happy. You lie. You cannot be happy under a half word when you've been under a whole word. I ain't called nobody name. But I just know you don't find full teaching every day. It's not on every corner. I turn members loose in this church with a ring around the average minister. You think I don't know what's going on here? I know what's going on here. I know what God is putting in our heart. I know the anointing is in this house. I know God is blessing us. I know we know the truth. I know you have grown. You're not what you used to be. I know you know how to handle some things you didn't know how to handle. Got to. It ain't about me. It ain't about you. It's about him. But God, when we connect, in Proverbs chapter 23. My. So don't permit yourself to get upset enough to make a stupid move. Talk to two or three of your brothers and let them pray with you. Don't just jump up and talk about, My wife and I sit on the porch, and my wife saw something in the scripture. In Proverbs 23:7, it's going to serve well, but I'm going to make a statement about Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. You see that? Eat and drink, said he, to thee, but his heart is not with thee. Now watch this, because there's other scriptures that can be more impacted in your life. There's one in John, one of the time I'll reveal to you in my teaching. But here, Montrell brought that one to my attention. He heard another fellow say it, and I went and studied it out. In here, Proverbs 23:7. Now watch how we're going to see it. For as he thinketh, in his heart, so is he. For as he thinketh, in his heart, so is he. You ain't got it yet. You still with that punctuation mark. For as he thinketh, in his heart, so is he. Your thoughts gets to your heart. So the human imagination is the preparation tool for billing into the realm of the spirit. You have to use your soul properly to build properly in the realm of the spirit. In Louisiana, I couldn't see nothing. I couldn't see no move. I couldn't see no wind blowing. I couldn't see nothing but religion, tradition, denomination, pastor day, women day, men day. Trick or treat. No, not trick or treat. And I said, man, it must be more. Must be more. And I saw that man one day walking on TV. Evidence. Oh, I say, wait a minute. I sat down. I said, wait a minute here. I sat down. I said, oh, no. I said, all right, Carol, we got to buy. We bought a satellite. I don't know. I can't tell you exactly how we had to get a satellite so I can keep up with him two times every Sunday. I saw him teaching those people, and I started moving out. I said, I got to get out of Louisiana, man. Louisiana, 20 years ago or longer, Louisiana was a plum prisoner until, now just hold on now, don't hold your rocks, until my ministry started bringing them out. It made a difference, see, because I didn't see the main thing is to work with God, you can't know what you're doing. See, when people know what they're doing, God can't use them. So I didn't know what I was doing, so God showed me how to do something. I said, thank you. And then I was crazy enough to do it. And then God was wild enough to bless me for doing it. See, but don't tell me nothing with no ministry about no ministry with no evidence. Don't bring me to no class you teaching you ain't got no evidence. We both guess it. Somebody should produce something. Now, I went over this, but I want you to hear it again. I see some new faces. When you talk about using your imagination, when you talk about one of the five weapons of your soul, one of the five vehicles of your soul, one of the five doors of your soul, one of the five gates of your soul. We had the fourth one, we're dealing with imagination. I got to go back and catch the other one, but it just seemed like the Lord won't teach this one because they got so much information. I'm not going to even get it all done tonight. But it is the gift of God to people, number one, your imagination, to take us places before we get there. To take us places, come on now, before we get there. I can go to New York right here, standing right here. I can stand in Darrow pulpit right here in Darrow and stand in Madison Square Garden, what I used to preach at, and see myself in Madison Square Garden right now. If you just where you are, you're a sad sack of salt. That's where frustration come in. Because you keep looking at where you are. But sometimes, you ought to let the Holy Spirit show you where you're going. Charles and Roy are still with me. They thought I was going out of my mind sometimes. I tell them, do something. Charles looked at Roy and said, man, they're just going to do it, but I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about here. What is it? Man, oh, people, all them people ain't coming here. Secondly, to do things before we actually experience them. That's why the Lord said, well, there's no vision. The people perish. See, Some way the imagination is hooked with vision, it hooked with dream, it hooked with the future. The imagination is connected with it, some like nerve vein, it connected some way. And you got to know how to use it properly because it's part of your soul. Everybody pray, if you got the word of God for the base and the foundation of what you imagine, you got the Holy Spirit breathing on it? Huh? And you've heard or all cared from God? It doesn't matter what someone say you can't accomplish. Because I'm not accomplishing it nowhere. I'm accompanying God in accomplishing it. He doing it, I'm taking a ride. See, we're talking about yielding your imagination to the Holy Ghost. Say it. Yielding my imagination to the Holy Ghost. Everyone in this church, listen to me. You are called to be a seer. You are called to be a seer. In the spirit realm, you are a seer. You can see things that the average person can't see. Not religiously, not church going people, just going to church. I'm talking about studying what you hear and hearing what you study. You're a seer. I can see. Say it.
I can see.
And I'm not talking about naturally seeing. Say it. Ain't nobody talking about no car and house. That's a small aspect of it. If you can't see a car, you're blind as a bat. We're not talking about, I'm talking about seeing at greater dimension. I've seen four jets. You can't see a car? You see what I'm saying? It's the Lord's doing. Let him unravel it in you. You got that gift in you. You got that talent in you. Stop sitting by the buyer fishing for purchase when you can have whale. The more trouble you're having, the closer you are. Trouble wasn't made to break you. Trouble was made to make you. You got to be a seer. You got to be a seer like Cassius Clay was in the ring. At round seven, you're going down. You're just in the third round. But you see it. I said you're a seer. Because you have an imagination. My imagination is a gift from God. And Satan, you can't have it. Give the Lord praise. All right, I tell him, Lord. When you use your imagination properly, it is a cure for fear. It is a cure for worry. Because if you stay where you are, you're going to worry. But if you plan on moving, you know it's temporary. Even the elders had better sense than that. He said, trouble will not last. So lift up yourself tonight. Think about it. I have the ability to project my future. Then I walk by faith and not by sight. I walk by faith and not by feeling. I walk by faith and not by somebody else say. I walk by faith and man is not my source.
I'm not a politician. I'm a preacher of righteousness. Say it. I don't need nobody to vote for me. The vote already was passed. On a hill. Not far away. Some call it Calvary. I can see myself blessed. Talk to me. I can see myself moving out of this situation. Can you see it? Use it. It's in your soul. Use that imagination. Stop lagging. Stop being pulled down by the moment. You are a supernatural being. I got to close. You're a supernatural being. You can have supernatural sight. The screen can just pop up. And you can see the next 5 years what's going to happen to you. Then you got something to live for. Nobody likes to eat the same old soup all the time. Most of the time it's cold. Sit down, I'm going to teach you a few more minutes. We got to take us places before we get there, to do things before we actually experience them. And the third thing is to have things before physically possess them. That's what your imagination does. That's what that weapon will do for you. I know I'm going. My dad went over things over and over again. And I say to you, this is not a fantasy. It is a preparation. When we develop our imagination, we develop our future. When we develop our imagination, we develop our future. Are you listening to me? When you can see it, when the Holy Spirit show it to you. See? That's why the Holy Spirit, that's why you got to use your imagination to the Holy Spirit, because he got to overrule some things that might come through your imagination, might come through your senses. But the Holy Spirit overruled that. Said, no. I'm not talking about that kind of imagination. I'm talking about another kind. I'm not talking about no fantasy. I'm not talking about no new age. I'm not talking about psychology. I'm not talking about a cult. I'm talking about the rim of my Father. No limits. Write that down on your paper, circle it. No limit. Put your initial on it. No limit. God dog it. Put something there so you can go back, eat it. No limit and put your initial there. No limit. God, you wrote that? No limit. You wrote it? You wrote that down? I'm talking to you. You wrote that down? You. You didn't write it. That's why I'm pointing at you. You. Did you write it down? Huh? You got a white, black sweater on. You wrote it now? You ain't got nothing to write with? All right, give her a piece of paper. When the apostles take time to talk to you, baby, something about to happen to you. I don't even know you. Lord, got it. Lord, the Lord draw me to tell you that. Write it down, because there's no limit. Put your initial under that. God himself created the imagination. And whatever the mind conceives, it can achieve. See, they stole our stuff. That sounds like some of that positive thing stuff, but that's our stuff. As a man thinketh. Let this mind be in you. Be renewed in the spirit of your. Ephesians 4:23, I'm closing. This truth is seen in Genesis chapter 11,
People gather together to make a plan to build a tower to reach heaven. They imagine a people who would be unified under a central form of worship, but not God, language, economy, and culture. God himself came down, the only person who could stop them, and saw what they were doing and saw their mindset regarding it. Now, in Genesis, God can't stop him, right? Guess what? He don't want to stop you. Matter of fact, he want to stop those who try to stop you. Why you let your dream go? Because you had a few problems. Why you settle down in the great old park, the old car, and just get out and say, we're going to stay here? Keep on dreaming. Keep on seeing yourself. Keep on seeing what God said about you. Keep seeing it. No. I'm not talking about being greedy. And I'm not talking about grafting after stuff. I'm talking about just being what God wants you to be. The imagination is powerful. Let me give you these two things and I'll close. I talk about the development of the imagination. I talk about two things. I'm going back over these things. So the new notes, you never got to them tonight. The first thing it does is it increases the borders of our mind. Here's what our mind, if you don't increase it, here's what you're going to say. I have never done that before. That's what you're going to say. But if your imagination kick in, I could do it this way. See, because when you're operating in God and imagination, you're standing on trusting the Lord with all your heart. Yes. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he'll direct your path. Yes. See, you don't have to think about, I can't. It's Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nay, in all these things, I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, see. Nothing going to separate me from the love of God. No matter what come, I'm still moving. Somebody say, you got a problem? Say, why me? Say, why not you? Whew. So it broadened our mind to stop saying, I never done that before. I still be on the back porch in my old house, still ain't paid for. But if I start talking about, I've never done that before. So what? But the Spirit of God says, you begin to say, I can do it this way. The second thing, it breaks mental limitations. Mental limitation. And you talk about, I can't do it. Now become, I know I can do it. And so the question I'm going to close tonight, the question is, are our imaginations set on something godly or ungodly? That's the question. That's the question. You must cultivate, develop, recognize, understand the power of a godly imagination. It's yours. You can have it now. Your spirit becomes so powerful when those five weapons become obedient to your spirit. When your imagination, your will become God. Not my will, let your will be done. Your memory, you don't let Satan bring up your failure and your shortcoming. He said, you tell him Satan has already gone. I repent. Now I'm walking in the refreshing presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.